The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man looks like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing. Chewy, you have been on the record saying you think this game against the Seattle Seahawks this weekend for the Green Bay Packers is going to be a tough one. You have talked about the environment. You have talked about a letdown element. You have talked about the travel. You have talked about a young team. What we have not talked about yet is the slow starts that have plagued this team in its four losses this year. So the four losses, of course, are the Eagles, the Lions, the Vikings, and the Lions. In week one against the Eagles, they managed just 6 points on two field goals in the first quarter. In week four against the Vikings, they went scoreless until the final 15 seconds of the first half. Against the Lions at home, they had 3 points in the first quarter, none in the second. And of course, we remember the interception that was thrown by Jordan Love at the end of the half. And then again, this week, the Packers struggled in the first half to put points on the board. Chew, how does a team like the Green Bay Packers rectify that? What can they do? Is it a matter of Jordan Love just taking his sweet time, getting warmed up to the game? What can you do to jumpstart, to spark the offense earlier in these games? Because they run out of time is what seems like it's happening.
You have to be better on third down. Because I was just looking through against the Eagles, they were 3 of 11. That's not good. Okay? Against the Minnesota Vikings, they were 4 of 11. Hold on. I just want to get to the first Lions game because I know the last Lions game, they were horrible on third down. And that's the difference because that means you're not staying on the field. You know, the first Lions game, well, they were 4 of 12. That'll tell the story, Jen. So when I look at those team stats, it tells a story for me. Now, some things blow it up like turnovers, and the red zone efficiency will kind of help you along. But third down, first downs, those were one of the things. When we came in Monday after a game, Holmgren would go through that and say, third down was great. You want to be at least 40%. You know, that's like the offense playing a good game is 350. Third down, 40. That's good. You want to get to that point. Now, anything over that, you know, you get to 50%. That's really good. And they're just not there. That's telling the story right now with a defense that gives up, you know, 27 first downs. You ain't going to win a lot of games.
So NFL teams famously script the beginning of games. Is there a problem with the script? Is Matt LaFleur not like there's something that is happening in the first and second quarters of these games where the Packers are not able to your point, move the chains, get first downs. So is that a malaise? Is that a not ready to play? In games, in seasons, Chew, where you guys have struggled early on, what do you point to? Is it the play calling? Is it just a maturity level of you got to be locked in from the time that from the first kickoff of the game? Because if you're not, you get behind. All of a sudden, you're working uphill the whole time. You become predictable, and that puts your team at a huge disadvantage.
Like, I don't know how these receivers grade out because to me they're all the same receiver. You know, I don't know how they grade out. So I don't know if it's not telling a story for Jordan when he comes up to the line and it's 3rd and 8. Okay. Back in the day when you had Devontae, it tells a story. You're like, okay, this is going to Devontae. Well, can't go to Devontae. They're double teaming him. They got inside position. They're playing in and out. So now it's got to go somewhere else. When Jordan goes to the line, he has no guy. Would you agree? He has no guy. He doesn't have a Devontae. He doesn't have a horse. So now he's like, okay, let's say these guys are all grading out the same, and they're either dropping the ball on third down or they didn't run the greatest route on third down, so he's not sure where to go with the ball. That's all I'm saying. That's when you have a Justin Jefferson, when it's 3rd and 8, you know they're going to him. Right? You know they're going to him unless they're like, ooh, that's a lot of attention there. Who do I got here? Addison? He's a pretty good player. I like his matchup one-on-one on the backside. I just think the story is not really clear for Jordan in a lot of instances.
Could it be Tucker Kraft? Now, that's going to require Matt LaFleur to designate him as the guy, right? Because you can't just line a tight end up the way that you line up receivers. But for other teams, you know, we keep looking at what the Chiefs have been doing with Travis Kelce, and you look at what the 49ers have done with a guy like George Kittle. Like, there are teams that can make their tight end their number one and them be the most dangerous target on the field. Can the Packers make that pivot? Again, acknowledging, too, that Josh Jacobs is going to be a major factor in the offense, right? But can it be where your go-to guy, your dog, as you say, the guy that Jordan Love goes, look, if these guys can't get open, if they can't get separation, Tucker Kraft is going to be there and he's going to make a play. Can it be him?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was, a security blanket. You know what I mean? Because a lot of times Brett would free, you know, free, I don't like that rowdy run. And Brett would automatically know where I was, you know. Third and five, third and eight, you know. Yeah, I would say get him more involved, but that is one glaring for a good team, which they are. They're a good team to be 19th in the league in third down conversion. That tells me a big story.
What does it tell you?
You know, tells me that they're not on the field and they have a defense that's porous, you know. There's parts of the defense that are getting better. Like, I think they're pressuring the quarterback a little bit better, but it's just like, okay, we got better in this area and now we're worse in this one, you know. But the third down conversion, if they want to make a splash when playoffs come, that's got to get a lot better.
Joshy, can that be
an important stat?
Can that be a recipe for success in the final games, in the final stretch of the season? Can the recipe for success be using Josh Jacobs, obviously, to run the ball, using Tucker Kraft to move the chains, maybe even a third down option, as Chu was saying, you need somebody who can do that. Can that be a way? And then sprinkling in the wide receivers in their various strengths, right? Whether that's Christian Watson downfield or Jaden Reed in some of those shorter yardages where he has the ability to collect yards after the catch. Is that a way to effectively run this offense, or is that too predictable for the Green Bay Packers?
I think that is a way to do it. I think that's also the way we've seen the Packers start to head towards, and I think it's clear because the two most reliable players on offense right now, you would say without a question of a doubt, are both Josh Jacobs and Tucker Kraft. I think Jaden Reed we saw sort of fall out of favor just because there weren't as many plays called for him, because if you're taking plays from one area, it needs to go somewhere. I think Tucker Kraft should be more of a factor every given week, because what he does after the catch, and it's not the same way, but he makes plays just like Jaden Reed does with the ball in his hands. One of them's much faster than the other, but they are making plays. I went back and I was looking here, and the slow starts, a lot of them have to do with miscues. And miscues have a thing we talked about all season long at this point.
What'd you find?
There's a lot of holdings. There's a lot of sacks being taken. If we go back to last week, they had a shot play called that was going to go to either Jaden Reed or Dontavian Wicks. It looked like it would have been there for someone to make a play. Instead, the line falters and they take a 7-yard loss. So now your first 15 is sort of
out the window.
Out the window. You're having to start fresh, because if the next play after that, if you expected a first down, was a running play, well, you're not going to run on second and 17.
Yeah, that happens, though. You rarely make it. I mean, if you make it to 8 in a first 15, maybe 10, that's good. You're never making 15.
Right, but the point is you're getting out of your rhythm so fast.
Yeah.
In your first three plays, if you are a holding penalty, now you're 10 yards back or taking a sack. Those types of things are sort of what has been the Packers' biggest issue all season long, is they get themselves into good situations and then they shoot themselves in the foot.
So you just crunched the numbers. You just went through the game logs there. Is it the majority of the things that are stumbling them early? Holding penalties? Is it on the offensive line? Like, if we had to spotlight, because I was asking you, is it the game plan? Does Matt LaFleur need to go back to the drawing board when he draws up his first 15? And you're saying probably not. It's the offensive line with these holding penalties and then setting them even further behind.
Yeah, I think it's execution and discipline, because if you go through them and you look at why some drives stall, well, there's a false start. There's a holding
penalty. Chu, how do you fix it? How do you fix that? If Joshy pulled those numbers, Joshy just went through the logs, and he's seeing those early penalties that are, you know, forcing them to go away from the first 15, to go away from the scripted plays. How do you fix it?
You don't. This is what happens with young teams, you know, and then you mix in the drop balls and stuff. This is just kind of a part of who they are right now. I mean, you make it a point of emphasis, but, you know, I mean, we're going into week, what, 14 here? And it's still happening. It's just kind of.
But
who
I
you are.
Don't see the and offensive Jen, line as I, being young. Chu, is that am I being naive on that? When I think about the Packers' offensive line, I don't think of them as a young unit.
4 years. 4 years is not young. So how many of them? I mean, obviously Elton, Rashid, I would still call young. Tom is in his third year. I'd still call that young. They just haven't had the experiences of playing. Being a team that's going to go to the playoffs and there's much more added pressure and concentration and crowd noise and all that, that's just part of who you are. But let's not forget, I mean, everyone is waiting for last year, right? Everyone is waiting for last year's offense. You know why they were so damn good last year offensively at the end of the year?
Why?
Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones. I mean, Josh Jacobs is great, but if I could take Aaron Jones again the way he played at the end of the year last year, that's the difference. He was a beast. Am I right? And I hate to say it, I would take right now Aaron Jones last year over Josh Jacobs this year.
What?
I mean, isn't that just now, not statistically correct?
Look at his last games. Look at his last six games last year, Josh. And I know you can't do that now.
He had six games with 100 rushing yards.
And he was a beast catching the ball.
But Josh Jacobs has those same capabilities, too.
He does. He does.
And we have to remember what Jason said to us earlier about the way that they have shifted their offensive philosophy to cater to Josh Jacobs' running preference, right? He was talking about how the outside run versus duo.
Yeah, sure. Yes. Yes. Which is smart. Which is very good. Yeah. But let's not discount how good Aaron Jones was last year at the end of the year. And that is a huge reason why they were so successful and were trending in an unbelievable direction.
Let me ask you this, Joshy. Let's put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Can Josh Jacobs duplicate Aaron Jones' end-of-the-year production? We'll figure out what the numbers are. Joshy is looking right now at Aaron Jones' game log to see what his production was over the last stretch of the season. I'm inclined to believe he can. I'm inclined to believe he can not only match it, but he can improve on it. And sure. I don't know exactly what that is. That's just a gut reaction. That's just a gut feeling. But everything I've seen from Josh Jacobs makes me believe, and Joshy, you mentioned statistical evidence, he's a better option for the Green Bay Packers than Aaron Jones currently and as we go forward.
So last year, in the last three games of the regular season that Aaron Jones played, you got 21 for 127, 20 for 120, 22 for 111, and then in the playoffs, he was 21 for 118 and 18 yards for 108. Aaron Jones played in, what is this, around 10 games and had 656 rushing yards. Right now, Josh Jacobs, through the season, has 1,053.
More.
So, yeah, I mean, like...
And that's why I'm on the show, ladies and gentlemen, to be able to tell you that the Josh Jacobs number that Josh just quoted us is more than the Aaron Jones number now, that he just quoted us.
Now, 2 weeks ago against Miami, he had 19 carries, but only for 43 yards. And this past week against Detroit was 18 for 66. But he did add 74 yards
in the passing game, exactly.
Yes. So, I mean, I... Yeah, it would be great if he could reel off five consecutive 100-yard games.
100%.
I think that would be a great advantage.
Chewy, are you saying you don't think Josh Jacobs is capable of doing that if the game plan is catered that way?
I don't think he's as good a receiver as Aaron Jones.
800-990-3776. We are talking about the way that the offense is structured for the last stretch of the season. I am inclined to believe that it should be Josh Jacobs, Tucker Kraft, with a sprinkling of the wide receivers in to move the chains, etc. But those two guys need to be featured. They need to be primary targets. They need to be considered on every single on every single drive, obviously, in order for the Green Bay Packers to win the remaining games and have a good spot in the playoffs. And Chewy is talking about Josh Jacobs compared to Aaron Jones. We're going to put that on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Can Josh Jacobs match or exceed Aaron Jones' production in the final, what are we saying, Josh? He's six? Was that the 100
games?
Five, the final five games of the season? Final five games of the season. We have got to take a break. We got to get to power rankings. Chewy has already given us the clue that he likes the way that power rankings shake out this week, which gives us an idea of who is where. Play along with us right after this. Are you looking for reliable transportation this holiday season? Accutrans is a veteran-owned business dedicated to providing unmatched corporate, personal, and event-related transportation that you will use again and again. Guys, you know that my travel during this time of year is insane. I would not be able to navigate it and manage it without my friends over at Accutrans, who help me get to and from the airport when I have a hectic travel schedule. They can do the same for you. Doesn't even need to be hectic. Say you got a family trip coming up. Say you've got the holidays coming up and you have a holiday party and you just want somebody to get you and your loved ones there and back safely. It's AccutransGroup.com. You can get a quote on their website or you can book a reservation today. AccutransGroup.com for reliable and safe transportation that Jen uses throughout the holiday and football season.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thanks, Ernie. I'm going to Venmo you that money right after the show.
You can't. You don't know how to use Venmo.
Made my workload much less. But Ernie,
you don't know how to Ernie, do it. And I don't know
does
how to
it ever?
It, so
it's, yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
The season for celebrating at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Join them this holiday season for special events that'll get you in the festive mood. They've got a spectacular brunch with Santa, a holiday marketplace, one-of-a-kind dinner and a show experiences, and they have a celebration happening nearly every week through the holiday season. Guys, you can also make a night of it. If you decide to stay at St. Kate, special packages are now available. Go to their website, stkatearts.com/holidays. There you can learn more about how to celebrate the holidays with St. Kate.
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's power rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night?
Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
I can see Chewy on the stream slapping his hands together and doing the old, so excited. So
Miyagi?
So
I did the
excited.
Miyagi.
Okay, what do you got?
All right, good list. A little easier with a couple of buys in there, but this is pretty much how I would rank them. So with that, you guys should run the table. If you don't, I'll be disappointed.
What? Run the table? Why in the world would you put that kind of pressure on me? Huh?
Well, there's the cheating aspect of everything. But
run the table?
You should be able to.
I don't feel very comfortable with that. Joshy, there's a lot of pressure. Can we tag team this sucker?
Sure.
Okay. How do you feel about number 10?
10.
Commies.
All right. I'm good with that. Commies.
Commies, 10, 9.
We've got an interesting thing here at the bottom with the team. A lot of the teams at the bottom didn't play.
We are hedging.
So
we're hedging.
The Chargers here would be my 9.
Why? Didn't they just lose?
They lost, but they lost to the team that's the second best in the NFL, and it was on a last-second field goal.
Okay. I could go with that. They've got to be in the top 10 is what you're saying.
Yes.
All right, Chargers.
8.
Did he say A? As in he gives us an A? Oh,
eight.
Is that correct? Are we not saying whether things are right or wrong now? Good grief.
So this is where I have to figure out. Did the Packers drop after a loss to the Lions, which was a last-second field goal?
Even though the Lions, we believe, are the number one team on the power rankings.
Yes. Or did it stand pat, and because the Ravens were also on a bye, like the Commies, the Ravens stayed right where they were last week at 8?
I can't imagine the Packers fell this far. Losing to the number one team.
Well, they would have only fallen one spot because they were 7 last week.
I did not remember that they were 7th last week. What do you want to do, Josh?
Let's just say Ravens.
Ravens.
7.
Is that right?
I think he would.
Okay, so you're
going to
tell us if we're wrong. Okay, so seven. Do you think the Packers are here at seven?
I think it's the Packers.
Packers.
Six.
All right, we are cruising.
Now, Chewy liked this. This is where we got to start. We got to start getting to Chewy.
This is not that hard.
We're getting into Chewy brain here because I believe. I believe last week the Vikings were one spot ahead of the Packers,
And we talked about how head-to-head mattered last week.
And the, if you remember, Chewy likes the Vikings, thinks they're better, and they won with style points. So I think they bumped up, and I think the Steelers dropped. So I think the Steelers are six.
Look, it's worked so far. I'm not changing the... If it ain't broke, don't fix it, as they say. So let's go with Joshy's gut, which is Steelers.
Five.
This is the Vikings.
Four.
Is this fun for you, Chew?
It's so easy. I mean, I could have got them all, too.
You read the list.
Now...
Four. That's why I could get them all.
Now, I think the Eagles barely beating... The Carolina Panthers, had Xavier Legette not dropped an easy touchdown, they would have lost that game. But if we remember, Chewy loves the Eagles, thinks they're the best team in the NFL. So he would want them,
for sure.
He would want them ahead of the Bills, who lost a close game. So I'm going Eagles.
All right, let's
I mean
go with
Bills,
it.
Sorry. Whoa, whoa, I said it wrong.
He's going with Bills.
Bills. What?
Three.
Eagles.
Eagles.
Two.
Eagles.
Chiefs.
One.
Lions. Dominated.
See, you really don't get a lot of credit.
What?
This is like... this is like...
Wait.
I even showed my work.
Three percentage points on your final grade. You know what this was like? This was like the IT test we have to take, you know? Where if you get one wrong, you got to do it all again.
No, oh, you would have made us do it all again if we had gotten any wrong.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else that deserves consideration? Is there anybody else that should have been in the top 10?
All right. Let me.
Who are team 11?
Take a gander. Houston.
Nah.
Is 8-5. They're 11. Denver.
Hold on. What about Seattle?
Seattle is 13.
Nah.
And they got no juice. Hold on. Hold on. Oh, they did. No, they got no juice.
For winning.
No juice
that means
for beating
that
Arizona.
Well, that means they think
they
Arizona's
were 13 club. Last week, and they're 13 this week.
Oh, they didn't
all
move
right,
at
let me
all?
Ask you this. No. Which I thought Arizona, I mean, I don't think they're great. But
would you put, Joshy, the Seahawks above the Commanders?
No, I would not. No. I think the Commanders are going to come out looking a lot better. Not really talked about is Jaden Daniels has had a rib injury that has stunted their offense. I think they're going to hit the ground running when they return.
What about the Rams, who just had that big win this weekend over the Bills? You think that was fluky? Or do you think that they're going to rattle off wins in the last quarter of the season?
I think they're going to give Seahawks a run for the money. I don't think they're better, clearly better than any team there. You can pick between the Commies if you'd like.
Who do you think, Chew, will represent that division?
The West?
I think Seattle will.
Seattle will. Here's the difference. Here's the problem in the game, Jed. Seattle's playing for something.
I think that aren't
they're
the Packers playing
for
something as
they're
well? They don't want to fall to that.
No, they're playing for nothing. They're playing for nothing.
The Packers nothing. Have the option right now
they're
of getting
the six.
Six or the seven, right?
Which doesn't matter.
I thought
it's
you said that
Tampa
you don't
Bay.
Want them to have the seven. Or you don't.
No, I don't want it to have the seven. Five and six doesn't matter. You're either going to Tampa Bay or you're going Seattle or Arizona. Right? I mean, so...
To me, that feels like something.
Poison.
Josh, is that something?
I think it's enough if Matt LaFleur does his work with them, can convince them...
Does his job, yeah.
Yeah, that this is these games matter. These are important. We need to keep winning. We need to keep getting better because we're not there, as
yeah,
we saw
I agree,
last week.
But... That doesn't always translate, though, Joshy. That's all I'm saying.
Let me ask you guys a question, course, hypothetically speaking. Yeah. Hypothetically speaking, if the Packers had beat the Lions last week, same score, inversed. Packers win, Lions lose. Where would they have been in power rankings?
Ooh.
Repeat the question again, sorry.
If the Packers had beat the Lions.
So it's more of Detroit. Detroit would have went to where?
Well, where would the
Packers
have moved to?
Would have to be ahead of them. I would say Lions, if they lost to them, would have went to
4-3-5-5.
I think especially if they with the way the game went, I don't think the Lions drop out of the top three or four because they're still only a two-loss team at that point. And I bet the Packers get up to around 4-5.
Really?
I think they vault the Vikings because they beat the best opponent possible. And then Vikings just basically either stay where they're at or move around. Like, they just kind of reconfigure.
All right, two teams. I'm going to give you two teams. These two teams, can they win the Super Bowl? Minnesota, Pittsburgh.
I'm going to say no on Minnesota. Pittsburgh, I haven't watched enough of them, if I'm being honest.
All right. Can the Packers win the Super Bowl?
Not right now. I think the top four teams we have on this power rankings are the...
Jen. This just struck me. The resident toad on the show, and we never got to it, blew off the Packer game to go see a cover band.
You know what's great is you two can unspool that tomorrow. How's that sound?
Okay.
All right, we got to take a break.
Remind me, Joshy.
I was going to say, that's not going to happen. The holidays are coming up fast, and if you're looking for the perfect gift to show appreciation to the special women in your life, whether it's your mom, your mother-in-law, or your significant other, you should check out Quintessa Aesthetic Center. It offers everything that the woman in your life loves, from luxurious skincare to rejuvenating facials and body treatments. And look, they got plenty of locations, guys. So wherever you are, there's a Quintessa near you. And this is the very best part. Right now, they are offering, for every $100 gift card you buy, you'll get a $20 bonus card. That's right. Now through December 20th, if you buy a $100 gift card for skincare or a facial or body treatments, you will get a $20 bonus card. It's a deal that only comes up once a year, so don't miss out. Make her holiday unforgettable by getting her a gift card at Quintessa Aesthetic Center so she can feel pampered and confident and completely renewed at Quintessa, myquintessa.com, myquintessa.com today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If it's gotten to the point...
I don't think shower.
What do you mean? What do you mean you're not going to take a shower? You just told me you're offended by your own BO.
No, but I think it's deodorant, Gabe. Showering does nothing. It really doesn't.
You are wrong.
Because...
You must be showering wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Still a ways away from the winter warm-up that they do for the Milwaukee Brewers, usually in January, as they get set for spring training, start drumming up excitement about the Brew Crew and what the team is capable of doing in the upcoming season. And yet the Brewers are in the news today. Why? Why do you think? Because one of their top-tier talents is likely going to be traded away. And this is coming off of the Willie Adames situation last week. Didn't even get to weigh in on that. That was an inevitability. He goes out and gets buku bucks and is going to another team. Great, fine, whatever. But now you're seeing, guys, that elite closer Devin Williams is on the trade block and that some of the teams who like to spend money, i.e. the Yankees, are already showing serious interest in acquiring Williams. He has a 1.25 ERA. He has been very successful if you ignore his playoff struggles. He's a National League Reliever of the Year. He's a several-time All-Star. And I am so stinking tired, Joshy, Chew, of fostering top-tier talent. You know what I mean by fostering? You know when you foster a pet? Right? They're at the animal shelter. They've been there too long. You bring them into your house. You take care of them. You treat them good. You give them all the warm and fuzzies and cuddles and food and all the things that they need. And they're really thriving. But the reality is when you foster a pet, you know you can't keep them because somebody's going to come in and purchase that pet and take them off to their house. And that's what keeps happening with top tier talent in Milwaukee. And Chew, I hate it here. I hate that these guys go to their forever homes somewhere else where they get the big bucks, well-deserved, of course, but the structure of MLB and where the Brewers are in the haves versus the have-nots, I hate it here.
I blame the owners because years ago, the NFL and the old owners, the Maras, the Hunts, all those type of owners made a decision where they said, this league will be better if we just go straight revenue share. And there were big market teams back then, and there were little market teams, right? Green Bay, could you imagine the Packers being under the MLB? They wouldn't exist. So this is just what it is. You know, there's nothing you can do about it. That's why when constructing a roster, you have to be so perfect when you're a small market team. But I'm not worried. Look, we didn't have Devin Williams for the first half of last year, and this team was so freaking good.
It's a good point.
Right? I'm not going the Bears route. Where next year we're going to hear it again. Oh, they're a play. They suck. You'll always suck until they blow up that whole system. I'm embarrassed that I put them in the rearview mirror. Okay? So they're fine. They're fine, Jen. They had a chance to do it this year. The stars have to all align. But they'll figure it out at the end of the day. When it comes to Devin Williams, trade him when there is the most value. I don't know if that's the offseason. I don't know if it's the trade deadline. But they will figure. I am not doubting the Brewers management ever again.
Wait.
Last year wiped it away from me.
There's no way.
They were supposed to stink. I'm not.
They couldn't get over the
hump. I have total faith in the... That's why the stars didn't align. They were one of the best teams in the Major League Baseball for the entire year. Entire year. I have total confidence in them that they will figure it out. I realize the playoffs, like I said, the stars all have to align, but I am not doubting this organization one bit.
Holy moly, where is this level of optimism for the Green Bay Packers? Because you are telling me that even though we have elevated expectations for the Milwaukee Brewers and we are asking them and we are saying it is not good enough to just make the postseason every year, at some point you have to punch your ticket to the big game. You got to punch your ticket to the World Series. Heck, I'll take a championship series at this point. You're telling me that you have no question, there's no doubt in your mind that they will get to that level, or are you telling me they may not get to that level, but I'm going to enjoy the ride. I'm going to enjoy summer baseball. I'm going to enjoy whatever team they put out there on the field. They're going to get some wins. They're going to win some series. They're going to make things competitive. But at the end of the day, I don't believe, because of the payroll discrepancy, that they can win a title, actually.
They can win a title. They can win a title. And last year should have proved that. They just ran into a buzzsaw. It didn't work out, right? And it's different with the Packers, because the Packers play in a fair system. The system is fair across the board there. Right? It's not in baseball, right? Because the Packers, after this year, no matter what happens, when there's things you got to do. You got to upgrade the defensive line. I think you got to bring in a number one receiver. I don't know what you do with Jair, right? So there are things to be done there. And they have money to do it. But you got to do it right. The Brewers don't. They don't. But they figure it out. And that's what I love about them, and I got their back.
Let me ask you a question, guys. This is to all of our loyal listeners out there. Besides Christian Yelich, who honestly is probably on the back stretch of his career, if you had to buy a jersey right now of a Brewers player, is Jackson Churio the only one, because of the long-term commitment that the organization has made to him, that you would feel comfortable investing your dollars in? Because everybody else, guys, look, maybe you fell in love with Rhys Hoskins this past year. Maybe you thought he was the guy. You were super pumped about what Rhys Hoskins could bring to the Brewers clubhouse, etc. Well, he's probably gone, right? Like, all of these guys who come through and have big years, are contributors, become fan favorites, it feels like it's just a matter of time before, if they have top-tier success, they're going to go somewhere else where they can be paid top dollar, and we just become that revolving door again. Is there anyone else out there? Jackson Churio is my guy right now. You got anybody else, Joshy? Is there anybody you would commit dollars to buying a jersey in this hypothetical situation?
I think Joey Ortiz and Bryce Terang are both options that seem to be long-term. You love William Contreras, but he seems like his days are probably numbered with how well he's performed. In terms of the pitching, it's kind of hard to say there. There's not a lot of, like a D.L. Hall or a Robert Gasser are like the best options you could really look at there. But I think both Ortiz and Bryce Terang are long-term Brewers.
Yeah, but they're getting their ace back. Who's their ace? I forget his name.
Woodruff?
The guy who was hurt all last year.
Woodruff?
Yes. He's back. He should be fine.
Well, we don't know
he's good.
When he's back, actually, to be quite honest.
He'll be back. He'll be back. Frelick, I'm buying his jersey.
Jeez, guy can't hit his way out of a paper bag.
He went to Boston College.
Chewy's like, I like the name Sal, okay? What are you going to do?
It's frustrating and disheartening as a Brewers fan to know that despite having one of the best development programs in all of baseball,
yes,
one of the best front offices, and two of the best managers we've seen in like all of baseball, you still need the stars to align and luck to hit. There is only so much you can do in terms of acquiring and keeping talent that it requires an immense amount of luck. And to me, relying on luck to that much isn't really any way to go about the business. I think Mark Adonizio could certainly invest more money. I don't know if some of those people have crossed paths with the Brewers necessarily, because the Willy Adames thing I don't think makes a whole lot of sense. You don't want to be paying a 37-year-old shortstop.
But we knew that was the thing. It was always going to be those back end years of whatever long-term deal he got were not going to be a good investment for anyone.
Right.
But there are other teams that can absorb that investment
and they just
better than
it.
The Brewers do.
Right.
Oh, my God. But the two things for both of you.
What?
Do you remember last year? And you're acting like you're surprised. Wait, like you had no idea this was going to happen.
We are not the ones with memory issues on the show, okay? Of record, Chew, you're the guy that can't remember bleep. So don't ask us if we remember last year, okay? It's a ridiculous inquiry by you.
There is no forgetting here. It is just a stark reminder of the difference between the haves and the have-nots and the reality of the system. Some of the issue I have is just with the way it's constructed. It is small market versus big. There is only so much you can do. We saw the stat. David Stern spent more money on one guy than he did his whole time with the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, those numbers are Stern spent $768 million on payroll during his tenure with the Brewers from 2016 to 2022. He just committed $765, so $3 million difference on one guy. And that's baseball.
Yeah, it is what we have to deal with. It is just a reminder every offseason when you start talking about Josh Hader and you start talking about Devin Williams and Willy Adames that there is only so much, and the bite at the apples thing is the phrase I hate the most, but it is the only plan, which to me is not a real plan.
For the Brewers.
Correct.
For the small market team that we choose to root for.
Sure. Yes.
Which is frustrating.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not saying I blame the front office for having to operate this way. I might blame the owners for choosing not to invest, but they've got spreadsheets, they've got numbers, they show what the ouch point is as well. And Mark Adonizio is still in the business of making money. I get it. I don't have to like it. I don't have to like fostering these top-tier athletes until they find their forever homes. I don't have to like it. And that's what the Devin Williams news, that's what the Ken Rosenthal article saying that the Yankees are sniffing around, that there are many teams that are calling about Devin Williams, made me remember when I was reading the article this morning. I don't like it. So I have to change my mindset. I got to change my focus. Got to shift the view. It's not fair. It's never going to be fair. You sound like a little baby when you whine about fairness. But in baseball, it feels like the only place where it really, really is relevant. The difference between the teams that can spend the big bucks and the teams that cannot. And the Brewers are one that cannot.
That's why it's going to be so much sweeter when they win it all.
All right, Chew. Should we put it on the poll? Are the Brewers winning it all? Ever? Yes or no? College hockey returns to Fiserv Forum with the fourth annual Quick Trip Holiday Face-Off. It's December 28th and 29th. Do not change that dial. Do not disconnect, guys. It is time right now to get your dialing fingers ready. right now at 800-990-3776. You can win four tickets to the Saturday, December 28th games at Fiserv Forum. It's the Wisconsin Badgers returning to defend their title. They're facing the Ferris State Bulldogs in semifinal action on day one. The UConn Huskies and Alaska Fairbanks Nanooks will battle for the other spot in the championship game. 800-990-3776. Call us now. Be caller number four right now at 800-990-3776 to win four tickets to the Saturday, December 28th games at Fiserv Forum.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Any of those things because it exceeds, it's like, I'm sorry, I'm burping up my apple right there. That's what that was. I wasn't pausing for effect. I literally was burping
all right,
my
can
apple.
We just go to break?
No.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Wildy and Tausch is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.